You're listening to The World Cafe. I'm Ann Powers in Nashville, Tennessee.
My life on the road, it's been hard on me and you.
Alison Krauss has been a musician her whole life and a major star for the past 30 years. A vocalist known for her remarkable grace and purity of tone, Krauss is also a dazzling fiddler and an accomplished record producer. She began her career in bluegrass as a teenager, playing with the band Union Station, with whom she still collaborates.
Here all alone and still wondering why, waiting inside for the cool to get cooler.
She's also recorded several solo albums, made beloved contributions to film soundtracks, including Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
As I went down in the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, good Lord, show me the way.
And worked with a wide array of artists, including a memorable partnership with Led Zeppelin singer Robert Plant on Raising Sand.
Some sunny day, baby, when everything seems okay, babe, you wake up and find that you're alone, 'cause I'll be gone.
Through all of that work, Krauss has established a new way to approach traditional music, melting away genre boundaries instead of banging them down, and creating a sound that's totally contemporary while remaining lovingly respectful of the past. Alison Krauss's latest project, Windy City, reconnects her with the country music she loved as a child. Working with renowned Nashville producer Buddy Cannon, Krauss honors artists ranging from rock and roll pioneer Brenda Lee to the bluegrass duo The Osborne Brothers to country pop superstar Glen Campbell. Alison Krauss recently visited Soundstage Studios in Nashville, Tennessee to talk about Windy City, which comes out today. I know that I'm not the only one who is so excited that you have made this new record. It's such a beautiful tribute to the history of Nashville craft and art and the history of country music. And I know for you it was a special collaboration with a particular person, and that is the producer, Buddy Cannon. And I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about who Buddy Cannon is and how you two connected on this project.
Well, it's neat to hear you describe that when you started talking about it in Nashville and in Nashville craft and all that. That was a sweet thing to say about it, because after we got the songs together, what we would do, when I say we, my son and I, we would drive around Nashville, and we'd go downtown and drive at night and look at the lights and drive up Printer's Alley, and I'd listen to the original versions of these songs. My son would say, "Oh, Mom, you know, I don't think you better touch that one there. You know, there's no way. what are you gonna do with that? You know, Brenda Lee singing those songs," and he had such an appreciation for that. And there was one song in particular that we didn't put on the record, "End of the World," that I've always loved that song so much, and Skeeter Davis singing that. And we didn't end up putting it on there because I couldn't get her out of my mind when I was singing it.
Don't they know it's the end of the world? It ended when I lost your love.
Well, Nashville is a place that's redolent with history, and I wonder, you're talking about driving up and down the streets and thinking about these songs, and how much does the city of Nashville and your own memories of, you know, the time you spent here and your knowledge of how these songs are connected to the history of the city, how much did that inform your interpretations?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I first started coming to town here, it was a stop-off place. We were making a record, and we came here. The first time I came here to Nashville was for a fiddle contest, the Grandmaster Fiddle Contest, which was held at the Ryman Auditorium. Kind of at the beginning of my musical life, we went to these fiddle contests, and we'd go record people playing, and I'd enter these contests, and we'd watch people, and I'd watch how they stood, and I'd watch their hand on the bow, and you know, fascinated, you know, how they tap their feet, and I'd try to learn their versions of songs, and went to the Station Inn and heard bluegrass people. So, you know, my life was, my introduction to country music was my dad's old Hank Williams records, and he loved Patsy Cline and Crystal Gayle and whatever was at the fair, you know, which at that time was, you know, Merle Haggard would come through, and so this was, you know, the late 70s and early 80s, and then, of course, old country that dad loved. And the history of country music really came later because of, I grew up in bluegrass.
Right.
And so I learned more about the history of country music later. And while I was a, you know, a late teenager, I did, and, you know, throughout however many years, I'd work for Buddy Cannon. I don't know how many sessions I'd do for him. And he was quiet and always got down to work. And I liked working for him, but I didn't know him well. And then I sang for him on, sang lead for him on a record. And I thought, oh my goodness. And, you know, whenever you work, you always are, you know, you're always, you know, working for yourself. Mm-hmm. And there's a few times, you know, luckily, you know, with the guys I play with, there's always a desire to please them. And so you can kind of get outside of yourself and work. It's a great thing to have. When I worked with T-Bone Burnett, he had a great way of, you can kind of let that part of yourself go where you just, I don't know how to explain it. It's a really magical thing to be able to let that kind of go. And Buddy did that when I worked for him.
Huh.
And so with that, it's almost the same kind of thing as when you, you know, when you, at least I'll speak for myself, when there's something to, when you find a song that you love, it's a must do. Like, you know, you have to sing that song. And until you sing that song, it's going to bother you, and it's going to stay on you, and it's going to tap you on the shoulder. And so ever since that, working with Buddy like that, it kept tapping me on the shoulder. And so he had said, she kept coming over to my office. And he said, it was a little weird, but it was okay. And I talked to Ken Irwin at Rounder Records about it. And I said, I keep thinking about working with Buddy. I don't know what the record would be. I just want to work with him. I don't know what it is yet, but I want to work with him. And so I asked him if he would, and he said yes. And this is...
When you're talking about that process of connecting with a producer or connecting with a song, it makes me think about how we as humans... You know, our ego gets in the way so often, and our self, our worry about how others perceive of ourself. And it sounds like what you're describing is almost a union of two selves, or a union of you and a song. And I wonder if there's something about his personality that made it particularly easy to connect with him.
I think most people who sing or play, or probably people who paint or... there's a desire to be, I don't know if it's understood, or they want someone to feel what they're feeling.
Empathy.
Empathy, or like, it's almost wanting to share something with them, or like, you know, like, try this. You know what I mean?
Try this delicious cake I'm offering you.
Or this horrible smell. You know, if it's sad or whatever it is. You got, you know, whatever it is, I guess it is, maybe it is empathy. And it's, you know, you got to hear this, or, you know, listen to this, or whatever it is. And Buddy is someone, you know, easy to get along with. He's very dry. Boy, he has such a desire to leave things as they are. He has such a respect for people's natural gifting. And just as, you know, you said, like a union with a song, you know, I didn't know if he was going to want to do a record. You know what I mean? I didn't know if he was going to want to do it, so I was really happy he would. And I was very interested in what he would be interested in doing. So it wasn't like, you know, I had to see what he was thinking. So, I mean, I'm thrilled with how it turned out. I'm just thrilled.
I think it's something that a lot of listeners today might not know about producer Buddy Cannon. He's known for his work with Kenny Chesney, more recently his work with Willie Nelson. But he is such a ubiquitous presence in Nashville. And I know he has a special nickname here that signifies his importance that you've talked about a little bit. But what is it about Buddy's nickname that speaks to his character?
Well, I didn't know his nickname. I heard his nickname from his wife, like in the last probably 6 months. And that was Ears. And I thought, in a town full of amazing musicians, you know, that he would get that nickname. I thought that was wonderful.
Well, one song that stands out for me is the title track, Windy City, especially because that does connect to your original love and the way people got to know you, bluegrass music, but through a group called the Osborne Brothers, who were known for both being great traditional players and innovators like yourself. So can you tell me a little bit about choosing that song and also changing the sound of it? Because it's very different than the original Osborne Brothers version, what you do with it.
Windy City, you're holding my baby.
That song has a special connection, or I have a special connection to that song, because the first time that I heard it was the first day that I met the Cox family in Texas. I believe it's the first song that I heard them sing when we sat together. The Coxes were huge and are a huge musical influence on me.
And they are on this record.
Yes, yes. Suzanne and Sydney are on this, and Evelyn sang this, the lead on this, when I met them, and we were sitting in the camper when we all first got together, and we sang together all day. And so they were, when I met them, they're probably the biggest mixture of kind of country and bluegrass in that whole bluegrass world that I'd heard, and the most feminine bluegrass singers I'd ever seen. And they were just, it was just the happiest of times, you know, when I look back on my life, no matter how old I am, that will be one of the happiest days. And the message of that song is so innocent, the way, you know, it was originally written is how, you know, from a man's perspective, but the sweetness of, you know, of the lady blaming the city for what happened to her husband in there is very sweet. And that's, you know, bluegrass has such an innocent message to it. It's a very sweet, simple story.
Well, let's hear that song, Windy City, performed by Alison Krauss from her new album of that title, Windy City. That's the song Windy City by Alison Krauss from the album of the same name, which is out today. What you're talking about, the innocence of bluegrass, this whole album, there's a way in which the language of the lyrics is very pure in
yes.
a sense, very simple, through which you can convey these profound emotions. And not to say that hasn't been true throughout your career in some ways, but I wondered if that was something you sought with this song selection.
I think I've just drawn to it naturally, you know. And this, to me, this record and the language in it is even a little more, you know, when if you look the language style on, you know, like the records that we've recorded as a band, they're a little more abstract, and this has a little more plainly said on this. And I'm. That's interesting. You noticed. It would make sense, I guess, because
What does that give you as a singer when a song has a direct lyric like that?
I mean, it's a little more exposed, I guess. I mean, I like hiding behind the abstract place. It gives, I feel like it gives who's listening a little more participation, you know, and it gives me, as a singer, more participation. But when you have, it also paints a clearer picture when there's more given to you, like, let's say, Windy City. I mean, you know exactly what the story is. It's a story song. It's a, so you know exactly what you're supposed to look at. It's just a different experience. You know, this has been a different experience. It's a different picture that's being created.
Another story song that you record that was one of my favorite songs growing up is Gentle on My Mind.
It's knowing that your door is always open and your path is free to walk. That makes me tend to leave my sleeping bag rolled up and stashed behind your couch.
It was very interesting for me to hear a woman sing that song. It was written by John Hartford, most famously, recorded by Glen Campbell. And you know, it's such a song of the counterculture in a way, of that moment when love was a little free and easy and a guy could leave a sleeping bag rolled up behind a woman's couch. But you're singing these lyrics, and it becomes a different story in your hands. I wondered about you approaching that song, which is very familiar to many people, but which you really do make your own on this album in a striking way, I think.
And for hours you're just gentle on my mind.
That song, Buddy suggested doing that song. And, you know, it took about, I think, half a second to say yes. I mean, it just seemed like a really beautiful, natural fit, and I always loved it. It's so romantic. And, you know, we did flip the words at the end to make it work. I love what it did for the story in my mind.
It changed it.
Mm-hmm.
It made it yours, I guess. And let's listen to that song, Gentle on My Mind. Here's Alison Krauss from her new album, Windy City.
I still might run in silence. Tears of joy might stain my face. And the summer sun might burn me till I'm blind. But not to where I cannot see you walking on the back road by the rivers flowing gentle on my mind.
That was Gentle on My Mind by Alison Krauss from Windy City. I'm Ann Powers with World Cafe, and I'm here with Alison. This is your first release since Union Station's album Paper Airplanes in 2011. And I know that the world of ears, the world of listeners has missed you, but they really haven't had to miss you because you've been really active collaborating with other people during that time. Jamie Johnson, you've collaborated with Amos Lee. You did something with Heart. You worked with Willie Nelson. You've also mentored artists like Sierra Hull, Angel Snow. You were part of a record I love, Billy Childs' tribute to Laura Nyro in 2011. Such a great record. And I wondered what you learned. Obviously, you've collaborated with people your whole life, but during this period of being a bit away from the scene as yourself, Alison Krauss, recording artist, what you learned from these collaborations and how they might have shaped or changed your approach that you now bring to this album.
Oh, wow. I hope that I would never stop learning. I love singing with other people and watching other people when they do what they do. I mean, I know what it's like for me, you know, when I'm working, and to watch other people and try to phrase with somebody else. I have such an appreciation trying to match someone else because, you know, it really is trying to get inside somebody's, inside their heart. I mean, it really is. It's how they speak and that the timing of somebody's speech and how they communicate. And when you try to to match them or understand them. It's a type of understanding you don't get any other way. And it is the most interesting work I could possibly imagine doing. And, you know, and I like making records, but collaborating like that and singing harmony with somebody is really my favorite. It's really my favorite thing to do.
When you were moving from pure bluegrass, where you started, into the sound that you developed over the years and that reached millions on your solo records as well as your records with Union Station, and then, of course, in your groundbreaking collaboration with Robert Plant, your work on the Oh Brother soundtrack, you blessedly avoided the trap of purism or purity. You were willing to try new things, experiment, push the boundaries of genre. And I know that couldn't have always been easy, especially bluegrass. There are some people who feel strongly that bluegrass should have walls around it. And I just wonder what in your spirit helped you make that journey and make those choices to cross over those walls, to break down those walls, as they say.
I show up and do my thing, you know. I don't have a conscious. I just show up and do my thing.
Were you listening to a lot of different kinds of music? Were you listening to, I don't know, 70s rock?
Yes. I've listened to all different kinds of things growing up. And I love anything with passion, you know. I just love anything with passion and desire. Anything that has want.
Well, desire can be many things. And one of the songs on Windy City that stands out to me is a song that expresses desire, not for another person, but for travel, for movement. And it's called River in the Rain. It was written for a musical called Big River by the great songwriter Roger Miller. And it was a surprising choice to me because, you know, who even remembers this musical? And you lifted it out of the context of the musical where it was sung by two male voices and made it almost to me like a sacred hymn. And I'm very curious about you finding the song River in the Rain and your interpretation of it and how you developed it.
River, I love you just the same. But sometimes in a time of trouble, when you're out of hand and your money bubbles.
Well, that came from Buddy. When this came up, Buddy says, there's a song. He goes, you've got to sing this song. And for me, that song was all about a man. Every bit of that is a conversation, a one-sided conversation to a man that comes in and out of the, you know, shows up and disappears, and the wake that he leaves when he does. That I think that's an amazing love song to me. So hearing, you know, about what part in the play it is, I mean, when I see what that, I love that as a love song. And you don't know what you're gonna see when you sing it. And so it, you know, it'll change. You're like a passenger on the train if you get all your laundry done. You know, like if I don't have, you know, if the phone's not ringing or whatever, you get your phone away and you're pretty clear and you don't have to think about other stuff. You know, it's a pretty good time. So, I mean, that song in particular, I love what came to mind when I was getting to do that.
That's a fascinating reinterpretation of the song. Let's hear Alison Krauss performing Roger Miller's song River in the Rain from her new album Windy City.
River in the rain. Sometimes at night you look like a long white train. Winding your way.
That was Alison Krauss performing River in the Rain from her new album, Windy City. I'm Ann Powers with World Cafe. We're so excited for her new album, Windy City. It's out today.